I'm Inspector Brian Hudson of the Office of Inspector General, and I'll be conducting the interview with Major Brian Sneed of the Florida Highway Patrol, who is the subject of this investigation. This constitutes an official agency proceeding. This time, I would like to inform you that this interview is being recorded. Persons present during the interview are myself, OIG Captain Harold Schweinsberg, Major Brandon Sneed, and Mr. Sid Matthews. At this time, I would like to inform you again that this interview is being conducted at the OIG here in Tallahassee. Today's date is August the 26th, 2016, and the time is 11:12 a.m. This interview will be conducted according to Section 112.532 Florida statutes, known as the Law Enforcement Officer's Bill of Rights. If applicable to you, this interview is also being conducted according to the requirements of the collective bargaining agreement. Inspector General Julie Lefteris of the Office of Inspector General is in charge of this investigation. You may be represented by counsel or any other representative of your choice. Do you request counsel or any other representative present during this interview?
Yes, sir.
The specific nature of the investigation is administrative. As I have stated before, you are the subject of this investigation. The allegations are you have made inappropriate, unprofessional comments in the workplace. You have created a hostile work environment. You have inappropriately used department resources and technology, and you work secondary employment without supervisory notification or approval. The name of the complainant is Dana Green. Have you been afforded an opportunity to review the complaint, all witness statements, including all other existing subject officer statements, and all other existing evidence as required in Section 112.532.1D Florida statutes prior to this interview today?
Yes, sir, I have.
As a law enforcement officer pursuant to Sections 117.10 and 92.5 Florida statutes, I have the authority to administer an oath in connection with the performance of my official duties. Any person making a false statement under oath may be guilty of perjury and may be subject to the penalties of law. Would you please raise your right hand? Major Brandon Sneed, do you swear or affirm that the statement you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir, I do.
Thank you. Are you now on duty, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
The investigation concerns administrative matters only. Unless you give false testimony, your statements cannot be used as evidence in any criminal proceedings against you. If you fail to answer any question directly related to your duties or your continued fitness for employment, you may be subject to discipline for insubordination that may result in your dismissal from the department. Do you understand your rights under Section 112.532 and, if applicable to you, your rights under the collective bargaining agreement?
Yes, sir, I do.
Has any promise or reward been offered to you as an inducement for you to make a statement?
No, sir, it has not.
Would you please state your name and rank for the record?
Brandon Sneed, SNAD, Major, Bureau Commander, Bureau of Criminal Investigations and Intelligence.
Okay, and how long have you been in that current position, sir?
Since October 2015.
Do you remember the exact date in October?
No, sir, I do not. If I recall, it was October 23rd.
Okay, and what are your duties in that position?
Provide oversight and management responsibilities and leadership to the Criminal Investigations Analyst Section, the investigators, which are approximately 65 sworn investigators, the Traffic Homicide Section, the Auxiliary and Reserve, as well as dignitary protection details for all cabinet members and a Lieutenant Governor aide-de-camp.
And who is your immediate supervisor?
Chief Ernesto Duarte.
And what is your designated work schedule?
Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
And who are your direct reports, sir?
Captain Herbert Head, Northern Section Commander, BCII. Captain Christopher Fletcher, Southern Section of Bureau of Criminal Investigations and Intelligence. Christopher Griggs, Chief Intelligence Officer, and Helen Phillips, who's Administrative Assistant.
The complainant in this case, Ms. Dana Green, provided typed notes of dates documenting what she alleges to be inappropriate and unprofessional comments made by you in the workplace. And what I'd like to do now, sir, is to take each of those dates and ask you specifically what has been alleged. I'd also like to repeat the allegations. I'm going to direct two of the allegations at this time. One would be that you've made inappropriate, unprofessional comments in the workplace, and the second would be that you've created a hostile work environment. Sir, I want to direct your attention to December the 22nd, 2015, just a couple days before Christmas. Do you recall having a discussion with Ms. Green about a bomb threat assessment?
I spoke to Ms. Green and Mr. Griggs regarding a bomb threat assessment that occurred where we did not receive information and Ms. Green had a verbal altercation with FDLE personnel. And that was my involvement with her regarding the conversation.
Was there a conversation that took place about that bomb threat assessment with Ms. Green, just you and her one-on-one, before it involved the three of you?
Yes, sir, it was. Ms. Green had told me that she had a issue with the chief intelligence officer at FDLE, which was Christy Gordon, and she gave me some background information of why her and Ms. Gordon did not get along, because basically they worked together in the past and they had issues while they were employees of FDLE.
Did you make any comments to Ms. Green regarding the FDLE supervisor, Ms. Gordon, that you just mentioned?
The only comments I made to her was trying to get a background from her of the history, because I did not know Ms. Gordon, and I was asking her what Ms. Gordon was like, what was her personality, what was her demeanor, how did she present herself, what was her management style, anything I could do, because I wanted to give Ms. Gordon a call and speak with her and introduce myself, since we hadn't had a chance to talk. And I had also, the reason why I wanted to do that is because I felt like what Mr. Griggs was doing is he was being very passive and he wasn't handling the situation.
Okay, did you ask Ms. Green, or did you make a comment to Ms. Green referring to Ms. Gordon? Did you use the word dyke? Is she a dyke?
No, sir.
Did you say to Ms. Green, what's her problem? Is it because you're hot and she's not?
I might have asked what her problem was, but I do not recall, and I would say I never made that about was she hot or not. No, sir.
Okay. And then you mentioned that you moved this conversation about the bomb threat assessment. Eventually, on that same day, it moved to Chris Griggs' office. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. If I recall, I think we did have a conversation in Chris Griggs' office about it.
And would that be the three of you, yourself, Ms. Green, and Mr. Griggs?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and was a phone call made to FDLE?
Yes, it was.
Okay, and what was that phone call about?
I called to FDLE, spoke to Ms. Gordon, asked Ms. Gordon basically to provide me with what was going on. She told me how Ms. Green had called over there and was rude and inconsiderate to her employees. I had then basically found some way to talk to Ms. Gordon to come to a mutual understanding and arrange for us to have a meeting so that we could discuss the situation and alleviate those problems.
And at any time before or after that conversation, did you ask Mr. Griggs if he was afraid of Ms. Gordon?
I don't recall asking if he was afraid. I know I wanted to ask him what the background was like and what she was like, because I personally wanted to go over and sit down and speak with her.
Okay, and was there any comments made to Mr. Griggs by you that insinuated or were sexual in some nature that referred to Ms. Gordon putting on a strap on and manhandling Mr. Griggs?
No, sir.
So if Ms. Green and Mr. Griggs both said that that statement occurred, would both of those individuals be giving a false statement?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
On February the 2nd, in passing, at some point prior to that, Ms. Green alleges that she had submitted a travel request to attend some intelligence training in Hilton, South Carolina. Are you aware of that request?
Don't really recall the request, but I do remember her submitting a request. She submitted several requests for training.
Okay. Were some of them approved? Did you approve the one in Hilton Head, South Carolina?
I'm not sure. I don't recall.
So do you recall telling her that it had been approved?
No, sir, I don't recall telling her that.
Okay. So would you recall that, based on her allegation, that you did tell her on February the 2nd that her training had been approved and that you made the comment that she owed you for approving that?
I've never made a comment to Ms. Green about her owing me anything. She doesn't owe me anything except to do a good job.
February the 25th, 2016, Ms. Green alleges that you summoned her to her office, and she even gives a time of 10:34. And that when she got there, the reason that she was there is that you were asking her to pick up some travel papers for members of Elizabeth Brinkley's squad. And the reason that she was asked up there is because Chris and Beth, when I say Beth, I'm referring to Elizabeth, that they were both gone for that day. Do you remember calling her to your office?
Typically, I don't call anybody to the office. My administrative secretary does. So she might have called her, and I said for her to come see me so she could get them because it might have been something that was timely due to the turnaround.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, this might have been before we went to DocuSign, and time was of the essence sometime because when they submit training, it's last-minute training that needs to be expedited.
Okay, well, let me rephrase my question. On February the 25th, whether you summons Ms. Green or your administrative assistant summons Ms. Green, was Ms. Green summoned to your office for the purpose of picking up travel papers?
I don't recall if she was that date or not. It's not uncommon for me to have them come up there and pick stuff up.
Okay. While she was up there, did she stay for a few minutes and did y'all have a discussion?
I leave my door open. My administrative secretary is there. Any conversations I have with anybody that comes to my office is with the door open. And if I had any conversations with her, my administrative secretary, Ms. Helen Phillips, would have been present and could have overheard any conversations I had.
Okay. So I'll ask you this. On that date, when she came to your office to pick up travel papers for members of Ms. Brinkley's team, did you comment to her that you liked her hair because she had changed its color to blonde?
No, sir.
Did you comment that the reason you liked it is because she smiled a lot and it makes her teeth stand out?
No, sir.
Did you have a conversation with her on that same date while she was up there after having been summoned to your office to pick up travel papers? Did you have a discussion with her about her boyfriend and how their relationship was going?
I've had several conversations with her regarding her boyfriend. They have just been general conversations. I've known her boyfriend for years. Therefore, I wouldn't have any conversations that were deemed what I would call inappropriate out of respect for him. He's a Tallahassee police officer. Him and I worked the road together for a while, and I've known him for an extremely long time. I would probably say 20 years.
Did you have a discussion with her about how you were stressed and how it's difficult to find Mrs. Sneed?
No, sir.
Did you ask her how old she was?
No, sir.
Did you ask her how many children she has?
She has pictures in her office and makes it very well known that she has one child. So at that time, I would say I never asked her. Maybe in the past, we've had a conversation about how many kids she has because she often refers to her daughter.
At that time, did you ask her how old her child was?
No, sir.
On February the 29th, talk about an incident. Were you summoned to have a meeting with Griggs and Brinkley in the back parking lot behind the DHS&B headquarters here at Kirkland Building?
Mr. Griggs and Ms. Brinkley said that they wanted to talk to me. We were having some issues in the intel analyst section with the way that some of the members were dressing. They have a bad tendency to be gossiping in that office. And they said they would like to talk to me about that to establish a game plan on how to address those issues.
Is that all you talked about in the parking lot? Or did you talk about other things?
We spoke about other things. We spoke about my management style and discipline of the situation and how I delivered things. And they said that they just wanted me to be careful about the way that I delivered comments. No specific comments were mentioned. It was just the way I delivered them. I asked for feedback as to what they were asking, what they were referring to, and neither one of them provided me any feedback, just that I always have my comments and talk to people with the door open. I don't ever close anything, or I stand in the hallway, and that's what that conversation was about.
Okay, it had nothing to do with inappropriate comments that you make?
They did, that I make or that I've allegedly made?
That you make.
Oh. No, sir. They basically said that it was about things that were said And they never said anything about inappropriate or it being inappropriate, just the way that things were being delivered and the way that they were perceived.
Delivered by you?
Yes, sir.
And perceived by who?
I guess other people.
Other people in your work unit?
They never, in the analyst section is what I would say.
Okay. At the end of that conversation, we're still there on the 29th, did Ms. Green approach the three of you as you were in the parking lot?
She did walk up at the end of the conversation, yes, sir.
Okay. And when she walked up at the end of that conversation, what were you doing or what did you say to her?
I was in uniform, I had my sunglasses on, and all I did was say hello, and that was it.
Okay.
At that time, I was still trying to process what they were saying, what they had just said to me.
Okay, well, help me understand, what is it that if the conversation was only about the way that comments were made and how they were perceived, what was it that you were trying to process?
Well, I asked them for specifics, and they didn't give me any specifics, so I was trying to basically think about what the specifics were that they were talking to. I was trying to reflect back on what they were referring to.
Okay, and as Ms. Green approached, did she ask you a question?
I don't recall her asking me any questions. Maybe she might have said, how's it going?
Did she ask you why you were looking at her feet or her shoes?
No, sir, she did not.
She didn't ask? So you didn't make a comment? You don't recall making a comment?
No, sir, I do not.
Do you recall saying that it's better than looking at your chest?
No, sir, I did not say that.
And before you all parted, did you make any other comments to Ms. Green?
Not that I recall, no, sir.
Okay. Do you recall saying something to the effect that, I guess I better be careful what I say to you because I've just been chastised?
No, sir, I do not recall making that statement.
Did you attend a CIU meeting in Chattahoochee on March the 1st of 2016?
Yes, sir, I did.
And was Chris Griggs the opening speaker at that meeting on March the 1st?
No, sir, actually, I was opening speaker and I introduced Chris Griggs.
Okay. Did you speak or did you just introduce him?
I basically laid out the outline of what the day would be like and then I introduced him after basically laying out what our outline was going to be and what our objective of what was going to happen during the meeting was.
Okay, and then after that, you mentioned you introduced Mr. Griggs. Did you turn it over to Mr. Griggs?
Yes, sir.
Were you present while he was speaking?
Yes, sir. I was present while he was speaking. Jessica Bangle had came in late, but she was present while he was speaking, and Captain Head was standing to me while he was speaking.
Okay, and did Mr. Griggs tell a joke while he was speaking that really didn't get much of a response?
I don't recall Mr. Griggs telling any jokes.
Do you recall while Mr. Griggs was speaking, commenting while he was speaking, making a comment in regards to the joke that he told?
No, sir, I don't, but I do. I have read a statement and know what you're referring to, and I would like to comment on that.
Okay, well, let me ask you the question. Did you at some point take the microphone from Mr. Griggs and make a comment, either that's so gay or you're so gay or something similar to that?
There wasn't a microphone for that, so there was no microphone for me to take.
Okay.
And I don't recall making that statement. However, if I did make that statement again, I would like to refer to some things in the terminology that he used it.
The terminology that he used it or that you used it?
That was referred to in Ms. Green's complaint.
Okay, did you read Mr. Griggs' statement?
I did read Mr. Griggs' statement.
Okay. Well, go ahead and whatever you'd like to say then.
I know both of y'all are familiar with the Urban Dictionary, which has slang word and phrases. It has approximately 70 million of those phrases in it. According to the Urban Dictionary, gay can mean several different things. It can be jovial or happy, good-spirited, often used to describe something stupid or unfortunate as well. Like, man, these seats are gay. I can't even see what's going on. Also, growing up, I played a game called Smear the Queer. Didn't mean that anything that we played was geared towards a person that we were playing football with that had the football was gay or any kind of insinuendo that they were. Many times I've attended training at the academy. Often at the academy, you refer to as Bud, which I took it as everyone's friend. But Bud can also refer to the woman's clitoris as well. So when you say, hey, Bud, is that what you're calling? You know, it's perception, it's open conversation. Have I ever said that something is gay before? Yes, I have said that before, and I'll admit that.
But you don't recall saying it while Mr. Griggs was
speaking? No, sir, I don't recall saying that.
So if he said that you said it while he was speaking, would he be giving us a false statement?
I mean, I don't want to say that anybody lies, but I don't recall saying that.
Okay. If you don't recall saying it, why do you think it's important that I know what the Urban Dictionary defines it as, or that anybody would know?
Because it's an allegation made against me. It is something that I have used before in the past.
Okay.
In
conversation. Is it something that you use commonly in that way?
I don't think that I use it commonly. I have used it before.
Okay. So look at March the 11th. It's alleged that yourself, Mr. Griggs, and Ms. Brinkley were in Dana Green's office and that the door was closed and that you were having a work-related conversation. And according to Ms. Green, you made the statement that you, referring to Beth, that you like the way that she gives it to you straight and that she doesn't hold back. Do you recall saying that?
I have told Ms. Brinkley several times that I do like the way that she's a straight shooter, she shoots from the hip, that she gives you candid information, unlike Mr. Griggs and Ms. Green, who basically give you a, I don't want to say politically correct, but they basically straddle the fence with their answers. You know, a lot of things what we do are time sensitive, and I need an answer and I don't have time to figure them out. So I do appreciate Ms. Brinkley's candidness. So I have stated to her in the past, I do appreciate you being straight with me.
And attached to that statement, did you say anything else about how you, and other than the fact that, you know, what you just explained, did you make some kind of comment that it gets you excited and you think about it when you're at home alone?
No, sir, it doesn't even make sense to me.
Do you recall during that same meeting that there was a file that Ms. Green was flipping through? Facebook printouts had to do with the case that y'all were working. Do you recall stepping around the side or the back of her desk as she was flipping through that file?
I've never been in Ms. Green's office, just her and I. There's always been somebody in there.
We're talking about four people in there.
Okay. No, I don't remember that, no.
Okay. And did you make some kind of comment in her office with the four of you that I mentioned? Did you make any kind of statement that you needed to be careful not to touch her boob as you walked around her desk to help her?
No, sir, I never make that comment with four people in there.
Okay. And did you make any type of comment about your ID number being 22 or double deuce?
No, sir, it's well known what my ID number is.
Okay. And do you recall making a statement that when you were referring to double deuce, that you could see Ms. Green's mind in the gutter?
No, sir.
Do you remember making a comment about a troop commander down south that he needed to get an RV to live in?
I never made a comment about a troop commander living down south about getting an RV to live in. Anything I've had to do with about down south had to do with troopers. Troopers looking for a place to stay, because I do own an RV down south.
Do you recall making any kind of statement after referring to an RV about the bus rocking and that Dana would know what that's all about?
No, sir.
Turn your attention to March 21st after an analyst meeting that took place. Ms. Green's alleging that yourself, Ms. Brinkley, Mr. Griggs, Captain Head, that y'all were and remained in the room after the analyst meeting, and that some discussion again took place about Logan, which is Ms. Green's boyfriend. Do you remember that?
I don't remember conversation taking a place about Logan. We have often talked about Logan because Logan, I consider Logan to be a friend, and prior to me coming here, Logan got in contact with me and asked me, you know, to look out for Dana and take care of her.
Have you ever made a comment, and I'm referring to this day, about taming Logan, referring to Ms. Green?
I don't.
She deserved an award for taming him?
I don't recall saying that, no, sir.
How about that she must have some kind of mojo on him?
I use the word mojo as in being in the zone, but I've never used it in sexual preference or calming him down or anything like that. No, sir.
Did you say that you needed to keep yourself away from her because she was trouble, referring to Ms. Green?
No, sir. I never said that.
Did you attend the DDAX training on April the 11th, which took place at the FHP Training Academy?
I don't know the date, but I was at DDAX training for 3 days, yes, sir.
Okay. And was Dana there?
Dana came to DDAX training late, and then she left early and did not complete the training. Okay. I think she was only there about a half a day.
Okay. So she was there?
Yes, sir. Okay. For part of the training, yes, sir.
At any point, did you introduce Ms. Green to anybody?
I don't recall introducing Ms. Green to anybody. I remember speaking to Ms. Green there, but I don't recall introducing her to anybody.
Did you talk about her at all?
No, sir. I don't recall talking about Ms. Green.
No conversation at any time while she was there with anybody about Ms. Green?
No, sir.
Okay. Did you ever refer to her at that training as Dirty Dana?
No, sir.
Did you ever make a statement about Ms. Green saying, I love me some Dana Green?
No, sir.
Have you ever used that statement, I love me, referring to anybody else at any other time?
Yes, sir, I have.
But not to Dana?
No, sir.
April the 13th of this year, conference room B333 after a BCII troop teleconference. Did you make a comment about Ms. Green's lipstick?
No, sir.
No comment about her red lipstick, and then comments about her blonde hair and how the red lipstick, you like it?
No, sir.
April the 19th, in Mr. Griggs' office, yourself and Captain Head, did you ask her what she weighed?
No, sir.
Have you ever asked her how much she weighs?
Not that I recall, no, sir.
May the 3rd of this year, in your office, discussing a threat assessment involving a trooper in Orlando, just you and Ms. Green, did you make a comment to Ms. Green about a confidential informant?
We were discussing a case that was being worked, and the case involved confidential informants, so I'm pretty sure that we spoke about confidential informants and I made some type of comment.
Okay, did you make a comment that the trooper was banging the confidential informant?
No, sir, I don't recall making that statement. Is that the terminology that was used?
I'm asking you.
No, sir.
I don't recall
making that comment, no, sir.
Do you recall making a comment that you're better off to bang another employee than you are to bang a CI, a confidential informant?
No, sir. And again, my secretary, administrative assistant, sits right outside my office. She can hear my conversations.
Okay, but my question is, I'm not asking if she heard it. I'm asking if you said it.
No, sir, I did not say it.
May the 10th, 2016. Yourself, Captain Head, and Dana Green in your office. And I know that the door stays open, so I think you've made that point clear, that in every conversation that you have, that your door stays open. Did you make a comment that you'd like to go back to Tampa?
I made it well known that I'd like to go back to Tampa. I enjoy the area.
Okay. And in that meeting on the 10th, do you recall, and the date's not pertinent, but in that meeting, do you recall not only saying that you'd like to go back to Tampa, but that you couldn't go back without Ms. Green?
No, sir.
Did you refer to her as your girl?
No, sir.
Did you refer to her as, you know, you're my favorite?
No, sir.
That you can't go back without her?
No, sir.
Do you recall Captain Head being there?
I don't recall.
May the 24th, 2016. Ms. Green alleges that she was in Chris Griggs' office and they had a conversation. Okay. Prior to that, had you and Mr. Griggs had a conversation about two new analysts that he hired?
Mr. Griggs told me he had hired two analysts, and he provided their background to me, and that was the conversation we had about the two analysts.
Did you ask any questions about the two analysts?
Did I ask questions about them?
Yes, that's what I asked you.
I think I asked about their background, where they were from, and how they'd be able to contribute to our unit, and what set them apart from the other applicants.
Are you aware that one of the applicants was male and one was female, based on the conversation that you had with Mr. Griggs?
Yes, sir.
And did you ask anything about the appearance of the female applicant?
No, sir.
Never asked if she was cute?
No, sir.
Never asked if she was hot?
No, sir.
Did you at any time ask if she was major material?
No, sir.
June the 8th, 2016. It's alleged that by Ms. Green that she was walking across the parking lot at lunchtime and that you approached her in your vehicle and, according to her, in a playful way, kind of sped up, but as you got closer to her, slowed down. Do you recall that?
No, sir, I don't recall that.
You don't recall that. Do you recall rolling down your window and making a comment to Ms. Green as you approached her location as she was walking across the parking lot?
What kind of comment?
Do you recall making a comment?
No, sir.
Get to that.
No, sir. No, sir. I'm sorry.
That's right. And that you slowed down, rolled down your window, and made a comment, "I wanted to hit that"?
No, sir.
You don't remember making that
No,
comment?
Sir. No, sir.
Do you remember if Captain Sneed was with you on that day? If Captain Head was with you on
that day? I think Captain Head was sitting in the passenger seat, yes, sir.
Okay, but you don't recall making that statement?
No, sir.
Later that afternoon, that same afternoon, talking about June the 8th, where she alleges that occurred, which you've denied taking place, did you see her on the fourth floor and ask her if she had heard what you had said to her?
No, sir.
July the 27th, while in Ms. Green's office, she was accompanied by Mindy Srinivasan, I think I'm saying that correctly, and that you and Captain Head came by. Do you recall that day?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And did a discussion come about or take place about an award she had won?
Yes, sir.
Could you tell me about that conversation, please?
Yes, sir. I had like I try to do when I have time, is come down, say hi to everybody, see if they have anything going on they'd like to talk about. And as I made my way around, usually what happens is I'll stop at Dana's office last, because I come in through the front part, I go see Chris Griggs, then I walk through the hallway, I speak with all the analysts, then I go to Ms. Brinkley's office and then to Ms. Green's office. At that time, when I walked in, Captain Head was with me. Mindy and Miss Green were in the office, and they were talking. I said, "Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to come in and say hello, see if everything was going okay." And then Miss Green says, "Oh, have you seen my award that I won?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "I haven't seen it, but that's nice. I'm aware of you winning your award. I'm familiar with what's going on. Congratulations." And then she began to discuss a leadership and development project that she was working on. At that time, and she was talking about wanting to get it implemented, and I basically said, "Hey, Dana, look, I think it's important. I think it's a great idea, but there's a lot that's involved, a lot of moving parts. What we need to do is I got to get with a lot of people, and it's going to be a primary focus for me next week." And I said, "I hope what you understand is that, you know, this isn't like the sheriff's office. You know, because I could tell by looking at her face that she was kind of put off by that, by me telling her that I guess maybe she felt like I didn't think it was a priority." And I told her, "Look, this isn't like the sheriff's office. We have to look at this on a statewide level, and it involves a lot more people than just us getting together. I got to get with the chief technology officer. I got to get with Sergeant Crosby and some other people about implementing it." And I said, "I also have to get with the chief again to find out exactly what direction we want to take so we can present it to the colonel." That's what the conversation was about.
Prior to that conversation, had you previously briefed the colonel about it?
No, sir, I had not briefed the colonel. What happened was Chief Duarte had sat in on the LDO presentations, and he came to me and gave me a heads up and wanted me to find out exactly what was going on to get a background. So when we had to brief the colonel, we would have the information to be able to brief the colonel.
Were you upset about this conversation and the award in implementing the project?
No, sir, not at all. I think the project has a lot of good ramifications for the department.
Did you make the comment at that time that you had already briefed the colonel?
No, sir.
Did you make the statement that you needed to be given credit for knowing what was going on?
No, sir. The comment I made was that I have my pulse on things, and I know what's going on, but give me some time to work on it. I never made a comment about giving me credit.
And in addition to the comments that you've mentioned that you made about implementation of the program, was there anything said that it better work, and if it doesn't work, certain things are going to happen?
No, sir.
Okay. Did you ever say that if it didn't work or wasn't successful, it should be going back to the sheriff's office?
No, sir, I did not.
Or to quote the allegation, I'll send your ass back to the sheriff's office?
No, sir, I did not.
Okay, and you mentioned at the beginning of your explanation that Mindy was present, correct?
Yes, sir, she was.
So if she made the statement that you did say that you would send Ms. Green back to the sheriff's office if it didn't work, would that be an untruthful statement that Mindy made?
Yes, sir, it would be.
Have you ever used the word dyke when referring to someone's appearance while in the workplace?
No, sir.
Never?
No, sir.
How about describing Mindy Srinivasan? Ever make that comment about her?
Had some conversations with Chris Griggs about Mindy due to her appearance.
Yes, I asked you if you've ever used that word.
No, sir. I don't recall using that comment referring to Mindy. No, sir.
Okay. Have you ever used that word, dyke, in conversation with Chris Griggs when referring to Mindy?
I don't recall using that word with Chris Griggs when referring to Mindy.
Have you ever used that word when speaking with Ms. Brinkley?
No, sir, I don't recall.
Have you ever used that word when speaking with Captain Head?
No, sir, not that I recall.
I want to refer you back to the bomb threat assessment that took place in December. And I think I've already asked you this, and if I have, I apologize, but I'm going to ask you again. It's in reference to that word dyke. Did you use that word when referring to the FDLE supervisor that you and Ms. Green were discussing about that issue with the bomb threat assessment?
No, sir.
I want to ask you about Angela Bonds. Have you ever sat down and had a discussion with her in her office?
I have spoken to Ms. Bonds once in her office.
Once?
Roughly one time. Yes, okay. Sir. I don't recall any more conversations than that.
At any time during that conversation with Ms. Bonds in her office, was there discussion about your health issues?
Ms. Bonds asked me how I was feeling. The reason I was in Ms. Bonds' office was due to the fact that her family owns a, I don't know if it's a salon or what it's called. She had purchased a product which helps with reducing the loss of thinning hair, and I had came there to pay her for the product and pick it up.
Was there any conversation at that time, if there's only been one conversation in her office, about your cancer?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, she asked me how I was feeling because she referred to somebody as having breast cancer that she knew about.
Did you comment to her about taking testosterone shots?
No, sir.
If she gave a sworn statement to this office that conversation took place about you giving and taking testosterone shots, would that be a false statement on her part?
Yes, sir.
At any time during that conversation, did you knock on the desk, make a gesture in reference to testosterone shots and having no problem in that area?
I really don't know what you're referring to, okay, but I don't remember making a comment.
But you did talk about testosterone shots.
No, sir, I haven't taken testosterone shots.
And you've mentioned previously that on several times you've asked Ms. Green about her boyfriend. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And your reason for doing that, based on the statement that you've previously given, is because he contacted you and asked you to keep an eye on her.
Well, I felt like Miss Green's boyfriend and I were friends. And, yes, I gave her a circle of familiarity because we were friends.
Okay. But has there been any discussion or conversation with Miss Green that had any type of sexual innuendos whatsoever?
Not that I deem sexual or inappropriate, no, sir.
Okay. Nothing about her personal appearance, nothing about RVs rocking, nothing like that?
No, sir. The only conversation I've had about appearances with Mr. Griggs about Miss Green.
Okay. Does Logan, Miss Green's boyfriend, does he own a motorhome or an RV?
I think he does because his son races motorcycles or something like that.
But no conversation with Miss Green whatsoever about don't come a knocking, bus might be rocking, or?
No, sir. Not that I recall. No,
not
sir.
That you can recall. Okay. Do you ask other females in the workplace about their relationships with their boyfriends?
I talk to my administrative secretary all the time about her relationship with her husband.
But that's it?
And Miss Smith, I've spoken to her about hers too, because we work, I work with them every day. How they're doing, how's things going, what are y'all doing this weekend, casual conversation. Have spoken to Mr. Griggs about his relationship with his wife, told me about them living out of Pickwick, all it is casual conversation. Have had conversation with Ms. Brinkley about her husband, she told me about the past, because I was coaching baseball and he was a baseball player in high school. And I have had conversations with other employees that work here about their family and their kids and stuff because I try to take a personal interest in that with them. And a lot of them do work with me, sworn and non-sworn.
Have you ever made comments to Brinkley about taking it in the ass?
No, sir.
Never?
No, sir. Not that I recall. I don't recall making any comments about that to her about that.
So if she gave a sworn statement that you have, would that be lie?
That's just out of character for me.
That's not what I asked you. I said, would that be a lie?
I don't like to call anyone a liar. Maybe it's dishonest or untruthful, but I don't want to say it's a lie.
Okay, but you're saying you've never done that.
I don't recall saying that. Yes, sir. I don't recall ever saying it's about somebody taking it in the ass.
Okay. Not on that day in reference to a strap-on either.
No, sir.
Dealing with the threat assessment and the FDLE supervisor.
No, sir.
Are you familiar with department policy and its definition of sexual harassment?
Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with department policy and its definition of a hostile work environment?
Yes, sir.
Are you familiar with the department's safe plan?
Yes, sir.
Sir, at any time have you made inappropriate or unprofessional comments in the workplace?
Have I at any time in my career?
Made inappropriate or unprofessional comments in the workplace?
Yes.
Have you at any time since promoting to the rank of major made inappropriate or unprofessional comments in the workplace?
I don't recall making any appropriate comments in the workplace since I promoted to the rank of major.
Have you ever threatened anyone with losing their job in the workplace?
No, sir.
How about Ms. Green in reference to her project? Did you talk about sending her back to the sheriff's office?
No, sir, I did not.
And if that was witnessed by someone else and they've given a statement, is that still your answer? You've never done that?
Yes, sir.
When you first came into BCII, and you mentioned, I believe, sir, that that was October of 2015, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Since you're promoting into that position, have investigators in the field been removed from the unit and sent back to the
There were several investigators being removed from their unit as I came in due to pending cases that were already going on.
Okay, but it didn't involve you? The removal of those, sending them back to the field, did not, sir,
they were based upon pending cases that were already going on. Okay. I think I only had dealings with, no, that was a pending case.
Okay. But they were removed?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Has there been any discussion in conversation and dealing with analysts, have you ever referred to the removal of those investigators from the unit to back to the field?
Yes, when referring to things that were going on, I have referred to that. Yes.
And that was the only purpose for referring to that?
It was referring to it because it was scenarios. It had to do, some of them had to do with intelligence. Some of them had to do with not following up on things. And basically all it was just talking to them about being aware and conscious with the people they deal with investigators.
Have you often praised the analysts?
I've praised them constantly.
Have you ever mixed the praise of the analysts with referring to these investigators being sent back to the field?
I have brought it up in the same conversation, yes.
Have you read the statements provided to this office, the OIG's office, made by Ms. Green?
Yes, sir.
Have you read the statements provided to this office by Mr. Griggs?
Yes, sir.
Have you read the statements provided to this office by Ms. Brinkley?
Yes, sir.
Have you read the statements provided to this office by Ms. Bangle?
Yes, sir.
Have you read the statements provided to this office by Ms. Renafson?
Yes, sir.
Do all these people work under your command?
Yes, sir, they do.
Based upon what we've discussed and the allegations that have been made against you, your answers to the questions concerning those allegations, and knowing that the statements which have been made by members under your command serving as analysts and intelligence officers, sir, have you created a hostile work environment?
No, sir, I haven't, based upon our definition of hostile work environment. And when I say our, DHSMB.
Right. I'm going to take a break for a few minutes. All right. I want you all to know that these are all. Okay. We're going to step out. You do the same. It's 12:10, and we're going to go ahead and pick back up. I want to go back to a few of the dates that we discussed, and referring back to 12-22 of 2015, that was the bomb threat assessment, and I had asked you if you had ever made a comment about being hot or not, referring to the FDLE, and Miss Green, you know, are you jealous because she's hot, or you're hot and she's not? And you're, if I recall, your statement was that you don't recall using those words.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you saying you didn't ever use those words, or are you saying you just don't recall using those words?
I don't ever remember using those words during that conversation.
Okay. How about anything similar to that? Cute, hot?
No, sir.
Go back to 225, February the 25th. We talked about a meeting that took place between yourself and Beth and Chris on that day. And you know, you said you didn't recall making a comment about her hair color. You said you didn't recall making a comment about her hair color. I asked you if you made a comment about her blonde hair, and you said you didn't recall.
No, sir, I don't remember making a comment about her hair color.
Okay. Have you ever made a comment about her hair color?
Yes, to Mr. Griggs, I have. Yes, sir.
Okay. And how so? I mean, what was the context of that?
The color in compliance with the BCII policy manual, the dress code that they have created that I will talk about here when I get an opportunity to.
Okay.
And it is their personal, their own department's dress code.
And on, but you never mentioned that you liked it. You've never said that you liked it.
No, sir.
Were you referring to Dana's hair? Or
correct,
to
Dana's hair.
Okay.
Referring to Dana's hair.
I think that any comment that I've made has been, it looks more natural once it was changed.
Okay. But never that you liked it?
No, sir.
Back to 3-1, that was the CIU meeting in Chattahoochee. You recall that?
Yes, sir.
And I asked you, and you gave me an urban definition of the word gay. Was Griggs upset at the end of that?
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Was Griggs,
Griggs
upset?
Never spoke to me about that and never ever told me he was upset. He never ever conveyed that he was upset. He never ever conveyed that anything I said to him was demeaning or upsetting. We didn't even have a conversation about it.
Did you call Griggs the day after that and ask him if y'all were okay?
I don't recall calling Griggs and asking him anything about whether we were okay or anything like that. I try to be very open with Mr. Griggs and have a conversation with him because he needs a little bit. He's very intelligent, very smart, but he needs just a little bit more of assertiveness when he handles things.
Are you saying you didn't call and ask if you're okay, or you don't recall?
I don't recall calling him and asking him about that conversation, something from March, 5 months ago. No, sir, I don't recall that. But I do recall him never coming to me and talking to me about the comment or that was upsetting or he had any issues with the comment that if I allegedly made that comment.
Did he display any physical appearance of being upset?
No, sir.
Go back to March 11th, which was a work-related conversation between yourself, Griggs, and Brinkley in Ms. Green's office. And I asked you if you made a comment about not touching her boob. And if I'm correct, your response was you don't recall making. Have you ever made a comment about touching her boob?
No, sir. Not to my knowledge, I've not made a comment to Ms. Green about touching her boob or boobs or breast or anything to that reference.
Okay, and then I asked you about your ID number 22, referring to Double Deuce. And I believe your comment was, everybody knows what my ID number is, it's common knowledge. What does Double Deuce mean?
ID number 22.
Okay, does it have any other meaning whatsoever?
No, sir. It might to someone else, but not to me. It's my ID number that I refer to, my call sign radio ID number.
But it doesn't have any other meaning to you?
No, sir.
On April the 11th, which was The DDAX training. Okay, I asked you if you had made a comment, I love me some Dana Green, and you said you don't recall making.
No, sir, I don't recall making that comment.
Do you recall ever using that term, I love me some, referring to somebody?
Yes,
sir. Have you ever used that before?
Yes, sir, I have. It means that you like something.
You like something, if you refer to a person, does it mean you like that person?
You like them, but it could be you like them, like I like you and I like you. It doesn't mean that I want to have a relationship with you. It means I like you, I don't dislike you.
Why wouldn't you say like instead of love then?
Because that's just the terminology.
And who have you, else have you used that term with before?
If I recall, I had an email conversation or a conversation, I don't recall if it was an email, with Angela Bonds. And she was telling me that I did not like her, and I said, no, I love me some Angela Bonds or something like that, to that reference. And that meant I like you, I don't love you, I don't want a relationship with you. And because I helped her out with a canine demonstration, we were having, I put it on with Lieutenant Harrison, we put on a canine demonstration. She wanted it because she thought it would be a good idea because of the legislative session going on to have a canine demonstration here so that they can invite people to see what the canine teams do.
On 5-3, I asked you about a discussion that took place involving Trooper out of Orlando, and I asked you if you used the term banging a confidential informant, and you said you don't recall using that term. What did you talk about with Ms. Green in regards to the confidential informant?
Do you want me to use specifics of the case? Ms. Green was doing a threat assessment on Trooper who had received some threats from an outlaw motorcycle gang. And she was discussing to me the findings of the threat assessment or what the findings were going to be or something about, from what I recollect, is something about the threat assessment.
What was
going to be contained in there.
Was that the extent of it?
Yes, sir.
Did you at any time during that conversation inform her that he was under investigation?
I don't recall informing her that he was under investigation.
I asked you about an incident on June the 8th.
Can I comment back on that question real quick,
sure.
Please? Any investigations, we work a criminal. And I only have knowledge of criminal investigations. I don't have knowledge of internal investigations. So I would have not known if he was under investigation or not. Unless it was criminal investigation that we would be handling. I don't deal with the Office of Inspector General nor Office of Professional Compliance, which would have that knowledge. To know if he was under investigation.
June the 8th.
Yes, sir.
I asked you about an incident in the parking lot where Ms. Green was crossing the road. And I asked you if you playfully kind of sped up and then slowed down and rolled down your window and made a comment to her in regards to, I should have hit that, and your response was you don't recall that incident. But you did say that you recalled Head being in the car with you that day. You recall Head being in the car, but you don't. Is it your statement that you don't recall the incident?
No, sir. I don't recall speeding up and trying to hit Ms. Green with the patrol car or playing around. I do recall Captain Head and I seeing Ms. Green in the parking lot, talking to her real quick. Captain Head was present, but I don't remember saying I should have hit that or anything to that derogatory type comment. I don't ever recall saying that. I would say that I didn't say that.
And back that one meeting that you had in Ms. Bond's office, Angela Bonds.
Yes, sir.
Right. Did you at any time in that meeting knock on her desk?
I don't recall knocking on her desk.
Are you saying you didn't knock on her desk or you don't?
I don't remember knocking on her desk or what that would refer to if I did knock on her desk. I mean, I don't know what the point is of knocking on someone's desk.
We've covered the allegations that have been presented by the complainant. If you had said anything that's been alleged in these allegations, would you consider those inappropriate and unprofessional?
I would consider the comments to be Some of the comments, yes, and some of them, the culture of the profession that we're, that I'm in, law enforcement profession.
Does your current position have two cultures or just one?
Two.
Okay, and what would those be?
You have non-sworn and sworn.
Okay, which, is it your statement that they're different cultures?
Yes, sir.
Would some things in one culture be appropriate that aren't appropriate in the other?
Yes, sir.
Is that, I'm trying to understand what
yes,
you're
saying. Yes, sir. To me, I believe so. Yes, sir.
Okay. And these allegations that have been made, which culture did those come out of?
The intel analyst section.
All right, I'd like to ask you some questions about computer and cell phone use. Are you familiar with department policy concerning the use of information technology resources?
I'm familiar with it, yes, sir.
Do you know the difference between appropriate use and inappropriate use as it relates to the use of information technology resources?
No, sir, not off the top of my head.
If you saw the policy on what was appropriate and what was inappropriate, would you be able to answer that question?
Yes, sir.
And any time that you feel like looking at it, let me know. I've got it here with me, and you're welcome to refer to it.
Okay, can I look at it?
Absolutely.
Please.
Sir, do you have a personal cell phone that has email and internet use capabilities?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a personal computer?
No, sir.
Talk about some of the documents that were located on your MDC, your mobile data computer. Sir, who's Mackenzie Reynolds?
That's the girl that I date.
And so that would be your relationship with her, a dating relationship?
Yes, sir. On and off dating relationship, yes, sir, for some period of time.
Why do you have numerous documents related to her school papers, resumes, PowerPoint presentations on your state computer?
I had kept them in a folder on there. I had kept them in a folder on my computer because I was helping her with reviewing her schoolwork.
And how did those documents get there?
I put them on there.
Is that appropriate use of state resources?
I would say no.
What is Snead Enterprises?
Snead Enterprises is a business that I own. It's a sole proprietor business, LLC.
And what kind of business is it?
It's basically right now used for payroll processing. It's a business that I no longer use and haven't used since February 2016.
You say February 2016?
Yes, sir.
Why are Snead Enterprise documents on your state computer?
Because I put them there.
Are some of those dated after February 2016?
If they're dated after February 2016, I haven't done any business with Snead Enterprises since February 2016.
Okay. I'll ask you again. Are any of those Snead Enterprise documents on your computer dated after? I've heard your statement that you haven't done any business, but if they're dated after February of 2016, how did they get there?
I would have put them on there.
Okay. So are you saying you're not sure? Are you saying that February date?
I know you provided the documents, but I didn't capture the dates in my mind to refer to that to properly answer your question. I apologize to you. But no one else would have had access to my computer to put those on there.
Sir, are some of the Snead Enterprise documents that are on your state computer, were they sent from your personal email to that state computer?
I don't recall if they were.
Do you sometimes send emails and sign them with X's and O's from your state computer?
Yes, sir, I have.
What do the X's and O's mean?
Hugs and kisses traditionally is what it means. I have sent something to Miss Kim Smith. She was like a mom to me. When I went through my ordeal in Tampa, cancer, she's administrative secretary down there. So, yes, I have done that.
How about pictures? Have you placed personal pictures on your state computer?
Yes, sir, I have. Basically, I had kept a file from my old desktop and stuff like that from when we transitioned computers, and I have many files on there that pretty much I have basically forgotten what's in there.
And when you do that, is that permitted? Is that appropriate use of state resources?
Only a limited amount of pictures that are allowed to be on your computer.
Okay. Have you exceeded that limited amount?
I would say yes.
Internet use. Have you visited the Casino Journal website from your state computer?
I don't recall. I do Google stuff and look at it. Yes, sir. So,
would that be work-related?
No, sir.
Would it be inappropriate use?
Yes, sir.
How about YouTube?
Yes, sir. I do. I have. I listen to music sometimes.
Is that all just music?
Yes, sir. To my knowledge, that's what it is.
Is that appropriate use?
No, sir.
How about homes.com and Zillow.com? Have you accessed those from your state computer?
Yes, sir. I was looking at possibly if transferring what would be in that area to relocate.
Would that be work-related?
It would have been due to work, but it was to find a place to live in and around the area that I was looking at potentially transferring to.
Would that be appropriate use of state resources and technology?
No, sir.
Have you ever watched a YouTube video on your state computer of Wilt Chamberlain, a documentary about how many women he's had sex with?
I don't recall that, no, sir.
Are you saying you didn't?
I would say no. I don't ever recall looking at that.
How about Def Leppard, the best of, on YouTube?
Yes, sir. Music.
But that's a music video, correct? If it's on YouTube?
I would say so, yes, sir.
Is that appropriate use?
Yes, sir.
Work-related?
No, sir.
Ask you about your cell phone use, your state cell phone use. Have you had long personal text message chats with Mackenzie Reynolds on your state cell phone?
Yes, sir, I have.
Were they work-related?
No, sir.
Is it appropriate use of
no,
state
sir.
Resources?
No, sir.
You mentioned you have a personal cell phone, correct?
Yes, sir.
Why would you not use your personal cell phone for that type of communication?
I don't know.
Do you have an interest in Dave Brannon's campaign for sheriff in Volusia County?
No, sir.
Why are there photographs that depict his campaign for sheriff on your state cell phone?
I like the car, the way it looked, the picture of the car that's on there.
What about the barbecue fundraiser poster?
I don't recall that being on there. It could be. I don't.
It's
I don't
on there.
Recall. Okay. Right.
Why would you take a picture of that?
I don't know.
Why are there hundreds of real estate searches, homes for sale and rent in Volusia County on your state cell phone?
Because I was looking at relocating around to that area.
Is it appropriate use of state technology and resources?
No, sir.
Is it work-related?
No, sir.
Have you watched YouTube videos on your state cell phone?
Yes, sir.
Are they work-related?
No, sir.
Have you searched stock market reports on your state cell phone?
Maybe I've looked at the stock market, yes, sir.
Is it work-related?
No, sir.
Have you looked at law enforcement jobs on your state cell phone?
Yes, sir.
Is it work-related?
No, sir.
Have you browsed or shopped for a 2017 E350 Mercedes on your state cell phone?
Yes, sir.
Is it work-related?
No, sir.
Is it appropriate use?
Yes, sir.
How about searching for how to make a raspberry lemon drop martini? Have you done that by using your state cell phone?
I don't recall doing that.
Are you saying you didn't do it or you don't recall?
I don't recall doing it, that's what I'm saying.
Why wouldn't you use your personal phone to do those things?
That error of judgment.
Have you photographed an RV with your state cell phone?
Yes, sir.
Is it your RV?
Yes, sir.
Why would you do that?
Because I had some troopers who were interested down south in renting a tone.
Would that be work-related?
No, sir.
Major Sneed, have you inappropriately used state resources and information technology for non-related work purposes?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to ask you a few questions about secondary employment in your business that you mentioned. When were you promoted to the rank of major, sir? You told me October, but...
Into October 2015.
And you said you believe it's the 23rd,
is that
correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Did that promotion require a geographical move on your part?
Yes, sir.
Since your promotion to major and assignment to general headquarters here in the Kirkland Building, have you ever notified the deputy director of your intention to work secondary employment?
No, sir.
Since being promoted to the rank of major, have you at any time been engaged in or conducted secondary employment?
Yes, sir.
Were you required by policy to notify the deputy director of your intention to do that before conducting that employment?
Yes, sir.
Is Sneed Enterprises your corporation, sir?
Yes, sir.
Do you have any paid employees?
No, sir.
If I were to call Sneed Enterprises, would your personal cell phone ring?
Yes, sir.
Is Sneed Enterprises involved with Southgate Campus Center here in Tallahassee?
Yes, sir, it is.
And what services does Sneed Enterprises provide for them?
Payroll processing.
And how does that occur?
Southgate, basically what happens is Officer Jody Fruchnik from the Tallahassee Police Department is considered their coordinator and scheduler. He schedules and coordinates security for Tallahassee police officers. He then lets me know what the hours are, and I basically process the hours through Southgate and send them an invoice for what was worked.
So does Sneed Enterprises, once invoiced, does Sneed Enterprises receive payment?
Yes, sir.
And how do the officers get paid?
They're paid by Sneed Enterprises.
Who writes those checks?
I do. And then they're 1099 at the end of the year through a CPA company.
On those invoices, there's three line items. One is for the number of hours worked by the security officers.
Yes,
one is a fee.
Yes, sir.
Tallahassee police officer fee. What's that fee?
That fee is equivalent to a fee like that we have for mileage. They charge a fee for officer use, a set fee for each officer, and is required to be paid to the city by who, and then it's billed to Southgate, and they pay the fee through the company.
So does Sneed Enterprises make that payment to the city?
Yes, sir.
And the Sneed Enterprises fee would be the third line item on that?
Yes, sir.
Tell me about that fee. What does that encompass? How is that made up? How is that determined?
That fee was a fee that was determined by Southgate Campus Center in order for to provide that service. It was something that they offered, something that they basically presented, and it pays for everything from insurance to preparation of 1099s, W-2s, anything that requires to cover expenses, paper stamps, anything of that nature.
Are you aware of the FHP policy and department policy concerning secondary and off-duty police employment?
Yes, sir.
As the CEO of Sneed Enterprises, have you been involved in secondary employment since your promotion to the rank of major?
Yes, sir.
Have you violated policy as it relates to secondary employment by not notifying the deputy director as required by policy?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to go back real quick to an answer that you previously gave. When I was asking about your information technology resources use and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you mentioned that one of the reasons you were doing real estate searches was you were considering a transfer to Volusia County.
No, sir. There's a considering the anticipation of the next promotion to chief, which is in the Southern District, the rumor is that it's between people in that area. And what I was looking at is for residential places within that area.
Okay.
Potentially in that area. And out of all the areas, I find Volusia County was the one that was more feasible to what I wanted to be in and where I wanted to be. And it was within the mileage so that I could work Orlando or anywhere else possibly close to there within the 40 miles.
Okay. And one other question going back to the secondary employment type thing. Have you worked any ODPE, off-duty police employment, since being promoted to the rank of major?
No, sir.
Okay. Have you scheduled any?
No, sir.
Is there anything that I failed to ask you that you'd like to add to your statement?
May we take a break for a few minutes?
Absolutely. and time is now 12:40, and we'll pick back up. Major Sneed, is there anything that I failed to ask you that you would like to add to this statement?
Yes, sir, there is. I would like to present some documents on my defense. Go down this book right here. Exhibit 1 is a disparate treatment case, and what it shows is it shows cases of similar nature and what the outcomes were. Exhibit 2 is a photo of Dana Green with other employees. I'd like to comment on that, please. This was dated August 5th, 2016, in an email that was sent out by the executive director, basically on kudos to employees. And it shows what I was dealing with in there as far as the dress code goes. Reason why I was addressing issues like this. As you can see in this picture, DHS&B policy requires that you can't wear short skirts. Also in this right here, it shows Ms. Green. This right here is the BCII policy manual that Intel analysts have come up with. And there should be a copy of it in here. If not, I'll provide it to you. And basically, it talks about the extension of the dress and how it's permitted. Talks about the heels, hairstyles. It says that hairstyles color that's not normally occurring is prohibited, which means it presents a professional appearance. The time when I was dealing with these issues and speaking about hair color, Ms. Green had a hair color that was dark maroon. It's considered a power red, which are referred to as strong, bold, intense, rebellious colors. Have pictures here of various hair colors that her hair color was. And those were colors that I was addressing with Mr. Griggs during the time to deal with Ms. Green, as well as other members of the appearance. And their appearance was so egregious, was that was the reason why they developed this dress code. This was created by Mr. Griggs and the rest of the staff, and based upon this, Ms. Green changed her hair color. These were conversations that I had with Mr. Griggs one-on-one. I don't know how he conveyed them to his personnel, whether he said it was the major doing it or whether it was him. I wasn't privy to those conversations. But they were also, according to Mr. Griggs, going to sign them. And apparently, based upon the email that he sent, that I have right here that I'll present as well, he didn't get them to sign that to hold them accountable for policy or any policy violations. As a bureau commander, policy is very clear that I have to enforce policy, and all I was trying to do here was just enforce policy. It's right here. After going back through related correspondence, I now remember that I didn't require everyone to sign it. That was supervisor discretion for their teams. I made it applicable to the section, as you'll see in the attached email, but I never actually had Dana or Beth sign one. It's obvious to me that through this conversation that Mr. Griggs, Ms. Green, Ms. Siverson, all of them have been speaking about this and keeping a running tally log based upon their statements and the comments that were made in there. And they all have been conversing about this whole situation. Not once did any of them ever present their notes or anything that they were taking. And a lot of this is what's going on is hearsay based upon what was presented by them. Also in here is the email from Griggs about the security detail, which speaks about Ms. Bangle. She makes it very clear in her statement that she was upset about things that were being done. BCI policy is very clear about you going through the chain of command and them being required to inform me of any issues that were going on, especially ones that pertained. It's well knowledge that they know that we oversee the dignitary protection details of any cabinet member or aide-de-camp for a lieutenant governor. And basically what's not in here that was requested was Mr. Griggs lacked to provide direction to Ms. Bangle and them to send to me, which he did not provide in this email. And what's happened with this is I had a conversation the week that this happened with Mr. Griggs about accountability and him being held accountable for everything that was going to be going on. And what I mean by everything is ensuring the dress codes follow the chain of command, his lack of providing supervisory oversight to the unit. He's kind of a laissez-faire supervisor. I'm very direct. It gets immediate response. I have to be like that in the way of the demand. Since I came here, an extensive amount of workload's been added to BCII, including the reserve and auxiliary, as well as a traffic homicide investigation. So I have a lot of parts. I also have in here access door cards to show that my access, which is here into the BCII office, is very limited, which no member of, I mean, when I say BCII, I mean intel analysts, that none of them suffer from any type of distress. None of them took any excessive absenteeism or took off. None of them were out of work due to anything that was supposedly or allegedly said. And even Ms. Brinkley brings up the fact that after they spoke to me in the parking lot, that there hasn't been any comments that she's heard been made aware to her attention since then. And then it's apparent by looking at Ms. Green and Mr. Griggs' statement that both of them were conversing about this and building something up against me. A lot of what was said, other people were there. They didn't hear what was said, or they didn't recall it, they didn't hear it, or they said I didn't say it. And I'd just like to present this as far as it goes, as far as the exhibits go. But I'd also like to make a factor mitigation for the secondary employment. No employment that was involved in, I received W-2 or 1099 forms for the payroll work that I did. I did work from my own company, and I did work, and I didn't work for any other company. The services I performed were those of payroll services through my CPA who worked for the company, because I hired her to do payroll services. I performed no police services. I did not act as an LEO in uniform or out of uniform. I did not use a patrol vehicle or agency vehicle to conduct any of this. I was not involved in any hireback program, provided no security protection for dignitaries, and did not act as a manager or as an employee. I provided no private security off-duty LEO services, and I did not act in any off-duty police functions. The CPA of the company acted as an independent contractor and consultant, and the off-duty employment rule appears to be ambiguous and capable of several different meanings when you asked it to me. As far as hostile work environment goes, there was no severe persistent unwelcome comments or conduct based upon their age, race, color, gender, sexual harassment, religion, national origin, disability, veteran status, marital status, or any other legally protected characteristic unreasonably interferes with the member or group's work performance. They never ever commented that any of this was interfering with their work performance. Again, I'd just like to reiterate that Ms. Brinkley basically said that after they had a conversation with me in the parking lot, I explained to you what that conversation was, that there wasn't any more issues or anything like that. And the BCII, or BCII policy manual regarding organizational structure, request contact supervisors for official purpose shall be transmitted up the chain of command through succeeding managerial levels. That didn't happen in Ms. Bangle's case, and because that was addressed with them, it became an issue and a concern to her. Mindy had a conversation with Chris Griggs, and I don't recall if Ms. Green or Ms. Brinker was there about Mindy and her dress, because she presents us at the human trafficking as well as her hair. That conversation was in private. And if it wasn't an issue, then why did they create this right here? It was before that. And I just find it ironic that everybody who I've had to address issues with through Chris, Mindy, or Beth are the ones that are presenting statements against me. And this boils down to basically a disagreement in my management style, the way that I present things. There's a lot of demand from the intel and analyst section. I have very limited contact with them, And when I do have contact with them, it's just very direct to get an immediate response because the things we need are time sensitive. It has nothing to do with me trying to get a date or anything like that. I can do that on my own. And what it has to do with it, it has to do with the fact that we're giving the best, we're a paramilitary organization, and we're giving the best presentation we can to the public based upon our appearance and the product that we're producing. So yes, it is a high stress, high demand job, and it's dealing with a group of people, of workers who are not used to being told that. And I give them a lot of praise, and I basically don't want to say warn them, but I talk to them about other things so that they're included and they don't feel like they're excluded from what goes on in the Bureau. I've talked to them about things that have to go on with CIU because each one of them have a focus area. And each of their focus areas cover across BCII, so we do talk about other issues outside the Intel and Analyst section. The difference between me and other people is I have a background in Homeland National Security, so I do challenge Mr. Griggs with cases because Mr. Griggs can't snowball me with things that are being said. He's very passive. He's not a direct supervisor. What I mean by that is he's not confrontational. And for him to address things, it's drawn out. He's extremely intelligent. He does a great job in what he does, but when dealing and managing people, he's very laissez-faire and non-confrontational. And unfortunately, when dealing with situations like this, he just needs to address the situations. Therefore, I've had to go back over and readdress situations with him, and all this is based upon my management style as far as the first two allegations go. And that's all I would like to add to it and present to you to add today.
Is there anything that I failed to ask you that is pertinent to this investigation that should be brought out other than what you've just brought out?
There is. One other thing I'd like to talk about is you mentioned the thing with the cancer and stuff like that. Look, since I've had surgery, I have low ambition. And my primary goal is work. I work a long, extended amount of hours. Anybody who knows me cannot take away the fact that I'm committed to the Highway Patrol and I work. And I don't have a drive that a person who did not suffer the type of cancer, testicular cancer, because I had the removal of my left testicle, I don't have the drive that I would have if I was doing this type of conduct. And I have medical records to show that and prove that. I suffer from what's considered low T, which is low testosterone, and I'm not receiving any type of therapy replacement right now or in 2016 to bring my testosterone up to levels where it needs to be. So I suffer from fatigue, tired, and issues like that that are convenient with having low T levels. My levels are equivalent, according to my doctor, to what a 70 to 80-year-old man would have. So there's no aggression, or I feel like I've been made out to be some sexual predator. I've been referred to from employees in the comments bringing up things as a womanizer. You know, I mean, that's not the case. That's not the case here at all. You know, I mean, and having conversation with people and bringing them into your circle and giving them direction, this is all based upon my management leadership style and a disagreement in philosophies and way things should be handled. Because we are a paramilitary organization, no, I'm not a touchy-feely, laissez-faire supervisor. I'm very much involved and up on current events to address situations.
Anything else?
Regarding anything, as far as the things, I have no political ambitions, nothing motivated by politics or campaigns. I know you brought up those pictures. I'm not running for office. I'm not trying to seek office. I'm not doing any of that. And what I was trying to do was look for options to end up getting out of Tallahassee, because I have made the comment that I miss Central Florida, because when I left here in 2011, I really enjoyed being in Central and South Florida. And that was my whole purpose, was to look at seeing if there was options. I found a county that I really liked, an area that I liked, and I really was thinking about if something opened up, the Orlando Troop D, from listening to rumors position, I really wanted to put a transfer in. The department has set precedence by transferring commanders, giving them first pick of places, and I really like the area because of the restaurants, the foods, places to live, and the cost associated with it. I did not want to live in Orlando where the traffic is the way it is, and with the 40 miles, that was a reason why I was looking at places to stay. I mean, I know that Miss Green was making a comment about keeping things in outline or anything. Does she ever present a diary or journal?
No. You saw everything we have.
Yeah. We don't know. She never presented. I mean, you said
you
no.
You saw everything we have.
Okay. Well, I just thought that might have been important to see what she was keeping. It was apparent by reading the stuff that Mr. Griggs and her were talking, comparing notes, getting their stories correct, because that's exactly what it was. So that's all I have.
Upon request, you will be provided a copy of your statement at no cost to you. Upon conclusion of this investigation, you shall be notified in writing with the disposition of this case. You are instructed not to discuss this case or disclose your statements to anyone other than designated department authority until the case is closed. This is the end of the interview, and the time is now 12:56 p.m.